Hi, I'm Michael Garofalo.
I'm Brian Zimmerman.
And I'm Laura Ortman.
And we are collaborating on an installation called Black Mirror Picnic.
Black Mirror Picnic.
Black Mirror Picnic.
Brian, can you talk about the name?
You know, I've seen these in the past and I've always been very interested in them. They're a convex piece of glass that's painted black. Sometimes they would use, use obsidian, like very, very dense black material. So they would compress the reflection of a scene so that you could see something beautiful. You could see a beauty, walk across a beautiful landscape. You know, maybe some people in the Lake District in England would come across some nice scene. Well, they would turn around 180 degrees and hold up this little black mirror, handheld device. And they could see a tiny little landscape reflected in it that was compressed to a tonal range that would be a little more similar to a painting. And, you know, there's historians that have talked about this as being a proto-Instagram.
Sort of like a selfie.
It's a bit like a selfie, yeah. And it's, I guess, in a way, it's a way of possessing, you know, a landscape or, you know, compressing a landscape into something that's more digestible. Or...
Where did you find the black mirrors?
So the black mirrors, ironically, were salvaged from older photographic enlargers. So these are machines that were built to enlarge photographic negatives. And they have these glass condensers in them, which are optical, real nice optical heavy pieces of glass, convex. And I got some really nice black enamel paint and painted the backs of them several coats. So it's a nice dense black. And it's, they work good. They're very humble, but I kind of like them that way.
And the idea is that people who interact with the installation will be able to use these.
Indeed, yeah. So I should have about 20, perhaps two dozen of these black mirrors in various sizes. You know, they're all salvaged. Some of them are a little bit chipped or broken. I don't have a problem with that either.
It wasn't my fault.
And it would be cool if people wanted, I think people will want, once they see them, want to carry them around. And I brought them up to Olana a couple of times, and the forest canopy looks really wonderful reflected in these black mirrors when you're walking around. It's equal parts psychedelic and also reminds me a lot of what I like about early photography, like daguerreotypes and albumen prints and such. But Olana, like being up there, the times that I've been up there, it's so beautiful you just want to eat it. And this, to have a little black mirror that where you have a pocket-sized impression of the landscape in your hand, it seemed appealing to me.
So you're also working with some of Church's actual paintings.
Yeah, there's a couple different elements but besides black mirrors, but one of the other big ones is I am lucky I have access to a nice quality color Xerox machine, and I've been making dozens and dozens of photocopies of various works by Church, ranging from his drawings, which I love. I think a lot of people haven't seen his drawings. I love his drawings. He's incredible. Thomas Cole said that he was one of the best draftsmen ever, his teacher, the painter Thomas Cole. It's almost, there's something really contemporary. Some of it reminds me of like contemporary graffiti, his drawings. So I'm cutting those up. I'm photocopying some of his big blockbuster paintings, which most people are, that's what they think of when they think of Church. But then also his oil sketches, and that's a big part of what's in the Olana collection is his oil sketches. And I love them, they're really raw, a lot of them were just done on chipboard. And so I have the opportunity through Olana, the nice folks at Olana have let me have access to some of the relatively high resolution digital images that I'm photocopying and then cutting up and making collages, that the idea is that they will serve as graphic scores as well as environmental installation elements. One of the impulses that I am working out of is that feel, that kind of desperate feeling when you're looking at a good painting You want at least for me, I want to get inside. I really do. I want to get inside the painting somehow. And this project has been the absolute best opportunity I've ever had to just cut up. Like, I mean, I'm just meditating on these paintings. It's great. I can look at them and cut them up and layer them. And it's an opportunity for me. That sounds very selfish. Hopefully it'll translate into something interesting for other people.
I know what you mean, because you're making them three-dimensional.
I'm making them three-dimensional. Yeah, I guess you have to see that to know that. Yeah. Trying to make, actually, maybe the best way to try to get it across is I'm trying to make dioramas out of church pieces that are really kind of cracked and distorted, and some of them are kind of abstract, but it gives me such a great excuse to crawl inside these paintings.
Laura and I are doing music, the audio transmission.
Yeah, I would love it if you could both tell people, just to give a general idea of what your instruments and electronics and such that you're going to be bringing out to the woods for this.
Let me take a look here. I'm bringing violin, a few effects pedals, and
with the percussion.
Just assortment of different percussion instruments I've had around the house. Chimes.
Bric-a-brac.
Rattlesnakes, megaphone,
batteries.
Have to be pretty much, we have a couple of things running through a generator, but everything else is going to be kind of battery powered.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be playing mostly battery powered things. I usually when Laura and I play together, I usually have some sort of analog synthesizer that I play, but since this is going to be a outdoor remote thing, I'm actually using an app for the iPad made by Moog, then I'll be using some acoustic instruments as well. Imbira, which is a lamellophone, and let's see, a thumb piano is sort of the common name, and other doodads.
Doodad.
We sort of, in terms of musical ideas, have taken a cue from the house itself at Olana and its Persian origins, and we actually thought, well, maybe we can incorporate some elements of traditional Persian music into what we're doing, which has been interesting because they sound very non-Western, and it's been a real challenge to learn to improvise because a lot of what we do is improvising within those scales and figuring out exactly what harmonies we can use. And it's been really fun though, and I think it's going to add to a sort of eerie strangeness to the audio transmission, which we should probably say that with the amplification of the electronic instruments will be transmitted to radios, which will be scattered about the installation.
Yeah, I think that's an important element. It's one of the things I think we're all excited about. You know, Laura and I used to be in a band called The Dust Dive, and we played the Campfire Sounds Festival a few years in a row at the Wave Farm. You know, one of the monumental inspirations for me, and probably in public sound art, is 10 years ago or so, going to the Wave Farm and going to Campfire Sounds, and there's an FM transmitter running, and there's literally maybe a couple of dozen radios sprinkled throughout the property. You know, for a very long time, I've been wanting an opportunity to have a space to present music in that way, and this is just perfect for that. And so we're gonna have an FM transmitter and lots of boom boxes, as many as we can get, and little radios and stuff, and have sound marbled through this along this carriage trail that we're gonna be on. I should also say that one thing about our piece that I'm excited about that's maybe a little bit different than most of the other pieces is that we're going to be along the North Road, which is a different path than most of the other performances. It's sort of down a hill, and we have actually quite a bit of space that we are going to be activating.
Yeah, the sound, I think, again, another sort of nice marriage between what you do and the music will be this idea of texture and layering. We tend to do pretty thick soundscape style things, and I know your collages have a lot of depth and stuff to them. And I think you were saying just that sort of like texture and layering is a real characteristic of
that's a real attribute of the Hudson River School, and it's a really heavy on the texture, really carefully, rigorously rendered, just, you know, lots of detail and texture galore. And yeah, I feel like all three of us really do have that natural impulse to build lots of texture into what we do. Yeah. So another thing about cutting up reproductions of paintings that I like is I work with audio sample-based music and looping things too. And it's absolutely the same impulse as hearing a really good break or some audio thing where I just want to stop everything and import it into my sampler and loop it and start working with it. With the church pieces, there are a number of these paintings where I just make like five or six or seven identical Xeroxes, and I'm just repeating and echoing and looping some of these elements that I really like little, you know, flourishes within little vignettes within the paintings. And so it's fun to be able to take liberties and do that. I feel like I can do it with church's blessing somehow. It's a little weird to be like cutting up his paintings, but I feel like, okay, well, church was alive in 2014. He'd probably be cool with that, maybe.